Teachers in Detroit have reportedly reached a deal to return to classrooms this fall. With COVID still at large, many educators have had concerns about the terms under which they might be teaching face-to-face this fall. But Detroit Public Schools Community District has apparently struck a deal that involves classes capped at 20 students, bonuses for teachers who are willing to be face-to-face, and the right to choose teaching in-person or online instruction. While the deal brings the district a step closer to a full restart after Labor Day, the fall situation still looks so complicated for schools all over Michigan. Michigan Radio hosted a discussion this week called Keep Calm and Teach On, discussing the return to classes. And our guests included Jametta Lilly of the Detroit Parent Network, Robin Murray, a teacher at Lansing Eastern High School, and Matinga Ragatz, Stateside's education commentator and a former Michigan Teacher of the Year. I asked our panel how teachers and parents can even make plans in a situation that seems to be changing, sometimes day to day. Let's hear from Robin first.
I think that we once again have to look at this as being very unprecedented. And we have all talked about that through any master's program, any dialogue with colleagues, that we're no longer an agricultural country. So therefore, our education system is 100 years dated. But you're going from one extreme to another extreme without any kind of pre-warning. So you're going to have to be able to look at this as small segments of time. It might move us forward to looking at year-round schooling. We're going to have to really, even after COVID, and I'm going to claim after COVID, we're going to have to change our educational system time frame, and we're going to also have to look at that there's going to be that hybrid mix just to think about snow days. There are going to be so many ways that we can keep education moving in a positive mode in the future. But to answer your question right now, I would say that if I was in a classroom, I would be looking at first marking period and doing the very best I can do for first marking period, having a backup plan for asynchronous learning, making sure I had my synchronous strategy, and then I would also have in person. And most educators, I think that Matinga would chime in and support me on this, we always have two or three different backup plans for
the backup plan, the backup plan for the backup plan, the backup plan for the backup plan.
Yeah, we just have to.
Yep, hashtag tiny wins.
Matinga, I know how deep your commitment goes to looking at innovative ways of schooling, but I also know how in touch you are with the realities that a lot of teachers face in terms of having to show some kind of, you know, measurability for what's going to happen this year. What do you think teachers will do to try to come up with their plans?
You know, teachers have the ability to land like Spider-Man, but I really want to speak to administrators, and I want to speak to the people that the decision makers, especially regarding standardized testing. Like, what exactly are you trying to evaluate during a national emergency, right? So yes, we can teach your children, but not to the standard of that test right now. Yes, if you allow us to figure new things out, we can reach a new group of students. We can really make things equitable for all kids, but we got to try different things. So this is a very experimental year. If the decision makers decide, listen, let's just, you know, have each other's back and make this year a successful year for our kids and for our teachers, I think that you will see a lot of success. And you see a lot of innovation, and you'll see a lot of creativity come through. But as long as this, you know, words like rigor and words like we got to keep up with this and we got to keep up with that and we got to fall behind, as long as we have that mentality, again, it's like trying to assess a survey, a population in the middle of a war. You know, sure, you might come up with some numbers, but what exactly are those numbers for? This message is more so for the decision makers to really just relax this year and give us an opportunity to forget the education we had and really look for the education that we want, that we could use, and that would really, really help our kids, all our kids, not just some who can afford it.
Jametta Lilly. Oh, please go ahead, Robin.
I'm sorry to interrupt. One of the things that our district is doing for the first two or three weeks, we're really focusing in on not curriculum, but really mindset, cultural connections, wellness checks. So I do think that the district is really taking some time to make sure, are you okay? That wellness check. There, here's some tools. I just see a humility, and I've been a teacher now for 20 years, 14 years in the city of Flint, but I've never really seen the collaboration on the levels as I've seen this year. In terms of districts saying, come on, let's come together as one. I don't want to sound like I'm sugarcoating anything, but I just think it's worth putting out there that our executive team, at least in Lansing School District, they're saying, we want you to focus on understanding what our babies have been through. This is coming from people that I never may have never heard that kind of conversation. Concentrate on the babies. Mm-hmm. Understand what they're going through. When you're on those Zoom conferences, if that child does not want their video up, you be mindful that you don't know what their circumstances are. We're being trained to understand what these children may be going through. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to get emotional, but I see it. I hear it. People are coming through. Stakeholders throughout the state of Michigan are embracing us and saying, we are here to help you. Each district is going to have maybe different challenges and different ways that they're going to go about virtual, hybrid, or whatever the case may be. But I'm coming to y'all sincerely from the heart. Mm-hmm. I see it. Mm-hmm. I feel it.
It is so easy to lose sight of some of that as the debate has gotten louder in the political arena, and the fact that Black families are facing, you know, a generational cataclysm right now. And families all over Michigan from every background have faced disruptions and economic hardships and just everything all at once. Mm-hmm. Jametta Lilly, we got a question from somebody who's watching right now that's not unrelated to this. And that question of how you go forward in a time of extreme uncertainty. And we can say trauma. We can say trauma. Danielle says, how can I help convince major employers in Michigan to provide more flexibility for parents and maybe students learning from home? I wonder if you could answer Danielle's question and maybe add if there's anything else, if it goes beyond just outreach to the work world.
Well, the extraordinary thing is actually business throughout the state of Michigan really is aware that we are behind in education and is talking about the need precisely for innovation. We see anywhere from the regional chambers, there are groups of businesses that are calling for actually equity, who are now finally realizing how important childcare is and are trying to look at resources for that. So I think one of the things is to find out in your area, what are the businesses or business sectors that are working around issues for growth and development? Because literally anybody who does anything that has to do with economics knows how important education is. So I would invite that person to take a look at just going online. EdTrust is one I would suggest. There is the Michigan Launch, which is a combination of both nonprofit and profits working together. What are the strategies that businesses can put and partner with other systems? But I would encourage anyone is get that data, get those voices, and share that with your company. I think you'll be delighted, and it may really help. The other thing I have to go here. So on one hand, all of us are excited about the notion that we know educating and lifelong learning can be so much more than it is in this country. I mean, there's so many other beautiful examples internationally in particular. Yet there's another bug that we just have to address the issue in the room is COVID. We are in a pandemic. We're in a situation where it is natural for teachers, the people who are so vital to our education, to have questions about, am I going to be safe? And then parents, we understand more and more from our pediatricians, and certainly we're hearing more about them from not only the AAP, American Academy of Pediatrics, and others. We don't really know fully how this disease is impacting children. So there are some unknowns, and there are some things that I think in order for us to get to that place of creativity and innovation and power and partnership, we've also got to make sure that we're trying to create an environment that is as much as risk-free as we can. So no such thing as totally risk-free. But has that district created a plan for face-to-face that is protective to children and is protective to teachers? And people have to have that dialogue. And if it's not there, then don't send your children there. And we're hearing teachers say, until I feel comfortable, I prefer to do this. So there has to be some give and take, because the reality is that COVID is part of our new reality while we're at the same time trying to move ourselves forward.
Jametta Lilly is the CEO of the Detroit Parent Network. She's also an appointee to Governor Whitmer's Coronavirus Racial Disparities Task Force. We also heard from Matinga Ragatz, an educator with 25 years classroom experience. She's also Stateside's education commentator. And Robin Murray, a teacher from Lansing Eastern High School. The discussion, called Keep Calm and Teach On, was part of Michigan Radio's Issues and Ales series, hosted via Zoom this past week. You can find a video of the whole event at michiganradio.org.